Okay, good evening, everyone. Last night we discussed the idea that if a person makes 5 pounds, makes a dough with 5 pounds of flour, wheat flour, which would normally require a bracha on her fresh challah. We mentioned, though, that if your intention is that you're going to be giving away some of the loaves, you're going to, from that 5 pound dough, you're going to make a number of loaves, and some of them you're going to give away. So we mentioned there's a suffix in the poskim if you could be mafresh with the bracha. The suffix if you're mamish chayiv in the mitzvah or not. So of course you do the mitzvah. Of course you separate challah, but there's a shaila whether you should make a bracha. And I mentioned that we typically tell people not to make a bracha unless the eitzah I mentioned last night of combining them afterwards. But I just wanted to add one nekuda to that, one point, and that is that the machlok, the shayla of the case where it's a machlokas poskim, is the case that I discussed where you're planning on baking the whole thing in your house and then giving some away. But if you make a dough and you're giving part of the dough away to others, then you certainly don't make a bracha. When you're mafresh challah from that 5 pound dough, you definitely don't make a bracha, because that's for sure a situation of lechalek, since you're dividing into separate loaves and then giving away some of the, you know, some of the raw loaves, some of the raw dough to others. So that's why when it's something to keep in mind when the teacher makes challah with her class, and she does that, I suppose she probably doesn't send home raw dough, but maybe a better example would be some of these challah bakes or whatever it is. Sometimes where people go to other people's house and they do make dough together, and then the woman, you know, maybe they're doing it, maybe a woman, they will invite over a group of other women to help familiarize them with the mitzvah of hafreshes challah, and to, you know, to give them a tam for Shabbos and this and that, and she'll make a big dough and then give everybody a portion, a piece to take home and bake in their own oven, etc. That for sure is a situation where she cannot make a bracha hafreshes challah. And sometimes the whole idea is they want to do the mitzvah and do the bracha and teach people, but you have to figure something out, like maybe make a lot more than 5 pounds, so that five pounds worth will stay home, and the rest you'll give out, or something of that nature. Okay, now I wanted to talk about one common situation which comes up. Now, again, these halachas they're not directly Hilcha Shabbos, but they are halachas that relate to Shabbos, and that, as we mentioned when we began, that baking breads for Shabbos is a mitzvah, and even being mafresh challah specifically on Friday is a special inyan for women to do. So it's definitely relates to Hilcha Shabbos. And one thing that happens, more than just on rare occasion, is that a person separates challah, meaning they have the raw dough in front of them, and they take off a piece and they separate it properly with a bracha, without a bracha, whatever they're supposed to do in that situation, and then through some way, the piece of challah they separated ends up getting mixed back into the big dough. Somehow by mistake, while they're working, they grab it or someone grabs it or whatever and puts it back with the dough, and it gets, and here it was already designated as challah, which means you can't eat it. It's as I said, and as I mentioned a couple of days ago, originally it would be given to a kohen. Now, for various reasons, we can't give it to a kohen. We have to burn it, but it's considered, in a vernacular, it's considered treif, meaning you're not allowed to eat it. In fact, you have to be careful when you're burning it not to touch the actual piece that you're burning with a kosher utensil, because that kosher utensil then would have to be kosher. It would absorb flavor, tam, from the challah piece, which is, as I said, is considered treif. So in any case, here you have a dough, a 5 pound dough, and mixed into it is your piece of challah. so that you already separated, which is treif. Now you say, well, maybe if it gets back mixed back in, so maybe it's batel. We know there's a concept of bitul. A lot of things in halacha, a lot of times when you're preparing food or working with food, if a little bit of treif food gets mixed into a lot of kosher food, oftentimes it'll be considered batel. Or a little bit of milk gets mixed into your chicken soup or your chal. If it's just a small amount, sometimes it'll be batel. So normally the shear is 1 in 60. If you have 60 times chant over the 60 times more chant than you have milk in this mixture, then it's considered kosher fleishich chant or chicken soup. A little bit of milk gets mixed into a large pot of chicken soup, as long as the amount of chicken soup is 60 times more than the amount of the milk that got mixed in, so it remains kosher and fleishich. But so by challah, first of all, the shear is not 60; it's 101, because we're dealing with something which is of a hektish nature. As I mentioned, it's matnas kuhuna. So first of all, the shear would not be 60, it would have to be 101. And oftentimes you're not going to have, your dough is not going to be 101 times the size as the piece you separated. And even if you made a very large dough, you might be uncertain, because when you separated, you didn't measure anything. And okay, so there's a process that you have to go through then in order that you shouldn't have to treat this entire dough now as to have the status of, forbidden challah and have to be burnt and thrown out. So the process is basically the process of being matir neder. Just like if a person makes a neder to do something, there's in many circumstances they're able to undo the neder, basically matir the neder. They're able to release themselves from the neder if it's something which they have reason to regret having done. And we know Erev Rosh Hashanah, we certainly the men and even many women a matir neder. They, in case they made any nederim over the year that they may not be able to live up to, or they're afraid they won't live up to, so they matir neder. So here too, it works to be matir neder, because when you designate the pieces challah, it's in a sense, it works through the same channels as neder. It's like it's as if you made a vow to that this shall be considered hektish. This should be considered kodesh and challah. So you could be matir neder, but who has to be matir neder? Well, let's say the woman was the lady of the house was mafresh challah. Excuse me. So she cannot send the shaliach. She either has to do it herself, or her husband can do it for her. Meaning, what does do mean? Do means that she, let's start with the lady, she would have to appear in front of three men, and she doesn't have to go through the whole long list of, we say, Erev Rosh Hashanah, but she has to make basically a statement saying that I separated a piece of challah, and had I known that it would, that piece would get mixed back into the dough, I wouldn't have designated as challah, because all it does is cause me a problem now, and rather than benefit me. So, and when she does that, so the three men say, mutalach, 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 it becomes permissible, it becomes unbound by the laws of challah, and now it's no longer challah, that piece is no longer challah, and your whole dough in front of you now is once again kosher, and you're able to eat it, but you need to be mafresh challah now again. You undid the challah, you made it ice challah, you made it no longer challah, so now you have to once again separate challah. So I think it's the Chassam Sofer says, oh, well, you're separating challah now, so you have to make a bracha again. Assuming it was 5 pounds, assuming you're dealing with 5 pounds. So if you undid the original mitzvah and you're redoing the mitzvah, so now you make a bracha again. If you made a bracha the first time, make a bracha the second time, because you're starting over from scratch. The first mitzvah was voided, and you're starting again. But some achronim say not to make a bracha, even though you're doing it over. It's a shaila, perhaps an unresolved shaila as to whether or not you should make a bracha. So, what should you do, lemaisa? Well, usually if we have no eitzah, we say suffik brachas lahakal. We don't take a chance, so we do it without a bracha. But maybe sometime we'll talk about, there might be some eitzahs how to, actually very, very briefly, if you take your sitter out and if you take a sitter out and you see, it says Vayivarech David, in Pesukim Dezirma, shortly before Yishtabach and Baruch Hu. The Pesukim say in Divrei Yoma, Vayivarech David es Hashem al-Nei Kol, Vayom David, Baruch Adah Hashem al-Kei Yisrael, Ovinu me'olam v'yad olam. And then you continue, Asher k'deshanu b'mitzvasavit tzivanu l'hafresh chalam in Isa. Meaning when you have a suffix bracha, you could say, it's a pasuk. Just say the whole pasuk there, Vayivarech David es Hashem al-Nei Kol, Vayom David, Baruch Adah Hashem al-Kei Yisrael. And you have the main components of a bracha, and you finish the pasuk and then say, and then say what you need to say for your bracha. In this case, Asher k'deshanu b'mitzvasavit tzivanu l'hafresh chalam. That being Eitzah, but otherwise, otherwise you're in a suffix situation and it might be kedai not to make a bracha. Okay, but let me just tell you two more details. When you this basin that you're convening in order to be mafresh, in order to be matir neder, it has to be three men who are over the age of bar mitzvah, preferably men that already are old enough that they exhibit facial hair, and even if they're clean shaven, but they have their you know, they already have facial hair that grows, and the woman's husband cannot be one of the men on the basin. If she's doing the hataras nadarim, he cannot be one of the three men. She other relatives could, her sons could, her brother, but not her husband. On the other hand, her husband could do it instead of her. Her husband could represent her in front of a basin. He can go in front of a basin of three men and be mater on her behalf. But another shliach doesn't work. You can't send the shliach. Either you have to do it yourself, or your husband has. We have to do it. And again, this is all in the case where the piece of challah you separated got mixed back into the big you know dough, and it's obviously no longer identifiable. So in order to make it kosher, this is what you would have to do. Okay, as Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow night. Kol tov. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.